So the epistle for the first Sunday after Easter, Low Sunday, is taken from 1 John chapter 5. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 20. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father had sent me, I also sent you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not incredulous, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Please be seated. Peace be to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, this Low Sunday ends the octave of Easter, and so we come off of this great feast, the greatest feast of the liturgical year. And St. Paul has said, if our Lord had not risen from the dead, then our whole faith would be in vain. So it is, we can say, the cornerstone of our beliefs, of our faith, that we truly believe that our Lord had truly risen from the dead. And so the post-communion prayer reminds us that these sacred and holy mysteries which thou hast given us to safeguard our rebirth may be for us a remedy both now and in the future. And I think if we look at that prayer, if we think about that, that we went through Holy Week, obviously, we had the sacred triduum, the mysteries that were a part of those ceremonies, that all of these things have been given to us to safeguard, yes, the rebirth that we have, this rebirth in the sense of being born again in Christ, in a true sense for us as Catholics, that because of our Lord's redemption on the cross, it gave us the chance to be saved. But again, when we think back and we think of our Lord's agony in the garden, he agonized over the fact of so many people that would reject him. And that is why then our Lord, you know, he shed his tears, also his blood, because of the rejection of so many people. And yet he went to that extreme for that, of his passion and his death on the cross for us, out of true love for each and every one of us. Again, to give us that chance for heaven, to give us the opportunity to make it to heaven. And so that is in the sense of the rebirth that we have. And it's a remedy for us, a very clear remedy to us. That through his shedding of his precious blood, He gives us that chance that it washes away our sins. It gives us a chance for heaven again. But we have to take advantage of that. And so that is why then, obviously, the Feast of Easter, it is the greatest of the liturgical feast. But it is also a great time of grace for our souls. And Paschal time continues that on. This time of grace that is offered to each and every one of our souls. And so it is a remedy to our sins that we gain these graces from God. And that is why you have the opportunity for the mission to make a good confession, a general confession if necessary, in order to be able to receive Holy Communion. As I said, it is an obligation that we have in order to receive Holy Communion. But again, it's not the mind of the church. The mind of the church is that we receive as often as we can, as long as, yes, we're in the state of grace. That we receive this bread of the angels to strengthen us and help us each day. I mean, that is why we're blessed to have the fact that we can receive Holy Communion each day. We have that opportunity to strengthen us and give us that food of the soul. And so that's where we must take advantage of the graces that God offers to us. To be born again in the true sense, as I mentioned, as a Catholic, that we're born again in Christ. That because of his death on the cross, he gave us that chance again. And so this time period illustrates that. It illustrates the opportunities that is given to us. And we can look at, yes, the mercy of Almighty God. Now, we spoke at Easter of the two disciples at Emmaus as they were walking. And so for them, they were discouraged. They were disappointed in the fact of thinking that this was the Messiah. But then that is where then our Lord appeared to them, not knowing that it was our Lord. And he explained everything to them of what the prophets had said, all what sacred scripture says about what our Lord would have to suffer. And that's why he says to them, "Oh, foolish of heart. Foolish of heart because you do not believe what our Lord had to suffer and had to go through these things in order to get to the resurrection." And so then we have another example of that. You see that the apostles are in the upper room and they're very fearful. Fearful of the Jews of being taken away themselves. And so our Lord appears to them to strengthen them. And he breathes on them to give them the strength to go out to be sent, as he said. "I was sent from the Father, and therefore I send you." And so he strengthens them by breathing upon them, giving them that understanding of the mission that they have. And so by doing so, then we see the apostles are very happy to see our Lord. And he shows to them his wounds. He shows them that this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. But then we have the example of doubting Thomas, St. Thomas, that for him he would not believe unless he saw with his own eyes. And so therefore he wouldn't believe what the rest of the apostles said. And so he had to have seen it. You know, put his hand in our Lord's side, touch his wounds in order for him to believe. And so 8 days later, our Lord comes again for the benefit of St. Thomas. And that's where he says to them, "Peace be to you." Because again, going back to the fact that they were fearful. And so our Lord comes to them to reassure them and say, "Peace be to you." He comes to strengthen them. He comes to help them. But then for Thomas, again, it shows the mercy of God that he has for these souls. The two disciples and then doubting Thomas. That he comes to, for him to believe. And I think for us, we see this with doubting Thomas. That he goes to this and we can say, well, he was an apostle. He has spent 3 years with our Lord, at least working with our Lord. And so, yes, it is fitting that he strengthens him because, well, he was going to go out to preach to all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so therefore, he needed that strengthening. But how many occasions can we look at through the history of the church of apparitions of our Lord or Our Lady in strengthening the people at that time or in that area? but how we benefit from all of that. Not only do we have sacred scripture to read and to understand, but we also have all of these different apparitions to look at and to strengthen our own faith. And so when we struggle and we lose hope or we get discouraged too, we can go to these things to believe, to strengthen our own faith. And you see, at the immediate response of doubting Thomas, "My Lord and my God," he realized that this was the Christ. This was our Lord coming to him. But for us, do we have that same understanding? We have the benefit of our Lord being sacramentally present for us. I mean, that is where a lot of times we've been taught as growing up, when the priest elevates the sacred host and the precious blood, that as the bells ring and draw our attention to the altar because of the mystery that has just taken place, that we also say the same words of doubting Thomas, "My Lord and my God," as a means to confirm our belief, our trust, our faith in God. You know, we've been taught that same thing. Do we say it with the same faith that doubting Thomas had? And how do we know he had a great faith? Well, he goes out and loses his life for the faith. He sacrifices his life for that. And so do we have that same faith? Do we have that same hope and trust in Almighty God? Because it is, it's an illustration of the mercy of God that he also has for each and every one of our souls by giving us the chance of not only having himself sacramentally present in our churches, but that we can receive Holy Communion. As I say, we are blessed to be able to receive possibly every day. That we have that opportunity to strengthen us. Just as it was a strengthening for the two disciples as they were walking, a strengthening for doubting Thomas and the other apostles, that we too have that opportunity. I mean, granted, we can't say that our Lord is appearing to us physically like that, like he appeared to them, but he gives himself to us sacramentally, that we have then the opportunity of the life of God within our soul. I mean, do we contemplate that? Do we think about that, especially as we talked about our Easter duty? Does it become so trivial to us that we don't realize to what extent that means and the obligation that is given to us? Of yes, we have a precept of the church that we must receive our Lord at least during this time period of Easter. But do we consider that? Do we understand truly that our Lord is coming into our soul to be with us and, God willing, stay with us? I mean, as it says in sacred scripture, to make his abode with us. Again, it illustrates the mercy of God for our souls. That he would want to be with us. And that is what is the beauty of, especially in this Easter season. Because we know the church requires from us that reception. Ask of her children to receive our Lord. But it is also a means to strengthen us, to help us. And so therefore, that is why we must pray for these graces. And as I say, it's a time period, this Paschal tide is a great time period of grace for our soul. Do we understand it? Do we contemplate that? And do we really receive our Lord with that devotion that we should? Or is it more just we go through the motions for that? Well, hopefully through each of the times we go through the sacred triduum, Easter Sunday, we contemplate these things. We see what our Lord suffered for us. We see what our Lord did for us. Does it make sense to us? And then do we try to live our lives pleasing to God? Of showing that same faith that doubting Thomas had, or the two disciples. Does it illustrate that in our own soul? As I mentioned, when the bells ring, do we say with a true devotion, my Lord and my God, a true faith in that? Are we so caught up with the things around us we don't even recognize that? I mean, it's a help to us when we consider these things, and especially as the church gives us to meditate upon. You know, Thomas and not believing the other apostles, even though they had seen the Lord, as it said. They had seen the Lord, but he doesn't believe. It's like, nope, I've got to see him myself. Let us take this opportunity to strengthen our own faith and our own trust in God, our own belief in him. To be able to come to the church and make our visits and pray to the Blessed Sacrament. Of that understanding of what it means that our Lord be sacramentally present for us. And that he gives of himself to us. Every opportunity that we have to receive Holy Communion. That is a strengthening for our soul. Pray for those graces for your own soul. That your my Lord and my God comes truly from your heart. That you truly believe that. That it inspires us with the true confidence of God. Now, it reminds me of the prayer of St. Claude de Colombier, the spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary, his act of confidence. Of how he goes through the whole thing, the whole prayer, and says, you know, we can lose everything in life. You know, whether our health, whether our money, whatever, it doesn't really matter. And he even says we can even sin. But as long as we never lose our hope in God, that is what we must always have. And I think that's a very good thing for us to think about. Because we're all human, we all sin, we all lose sometimes the state of grace. But the last thing we need is despair. To feel that we cannot be saved, we have no hope. And that prayer, that act of confidence, that is what he is saying. You can lose everything around you. As long as you don't lose one thing, you'll be fine. Because through that hope that you have in God, you will come back to the sacrament. You'll come back to the grace of God. And that's why he says in the prayer, God watches over those who hope in him. They never lose their hope. And so he says, it doesn't matter what other people do. You know, they can take their consolation in their sacrifices and their penances and their alms and their health and all the different things. Doesn't matter. Because he says, I've seen the stars fall from the firmament in heaven. And so, yes, any of us can fall from the state of grace, but as long as you don't lose one thing, your hope in Almighty God. So it's a beautiful prayer. It's an act of confidence that he gives to us. And I think that is one of the things that we must always keep in mind. That confidence and that trust in God, and we see the illustrations of that, whether it's in sacred scripture, whether it's in apparitions, we see the true mercy of Almighty God for our souls. And so let us never lose sight of that. And so we can say with St. Claude de Colombier, no one has hoped in the Lord and been confounded. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.